This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our first story takes a look at the suspension of the Malaysian Insight. This took place last Friday evening. Am I about right on that?
That's right. Actually, when we were on air last Friday, I guess the news started trickling in that the Malaysian Insight had posted up a little editorial, if you will, addressed to their readers and informing us that it's stopping publication starting this week. Mm. The reason cited being that they missed a major milestone in starting a paywall, and that page views traffic has not reached the targeted critical mass. Now, I guess when it comes to setting up ventures like this, Ezra, if you have, venture capitalists, everyone kind of sets up investors. Everyone kind of sets up these KPIs or milestones. I mean, no one's expecting. I don't think anyone's silly enough to expect the news organization to be profitable in a year, right? That's just not going to happen.
Right.
But I think these maybe were some of the milestones. You know, your page views must be this many 100,000 or this many million.
Yeah.
And you must have a paywall set up by now and all of this stuff. So,
and I think what also is interesting about this bit of development when it comes to the Malaysian Insight is there was so much enthusiasm when it first came about.
Yes.
End of March of 2017.
Correct.
Of course, on the back of the closure of the Malaysian Insider, and there was some momentum towards saying, all right, especially in light of how news has been so, I guess, restricted in some ways of how we get our news, about the type of exclusivity and coverage of all the pertinent issues of the day.
Yes, and I guess everyone is trying to brand themselves as the, I guess, honest broker and independent source, and we have so few of those.
Yes.
In Malaysia. So there are very few avenues to turn to where you can get some good old-fashioned honest reporting, right?
Yeah, and I recall the conversation even about a year ago when it came to online news portals about the viability of Malaysians willing to pay
yeah.
a certain amount of subscription a month
yeah.
to ensure that the type of news coverage and reporting that they're getting was of the highest quality of journalism. And there was some debate about that because it seemed to be the only way to make it sustainable in the long term, apart from just relying on advertising.
I guess we live in this free internet economy, right, where we've grown so accustomed to getting anything we need for free. Even the stuff that isn't free, there are ways and means to get it for free. And I think what happens is legitimate news sources like this end up suffering because of this strange, weird economy that the internet has kind of created.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go back 10 years ago, even 15 years ago, I mean, there were certain things that you probably wouldn't necessarily dream of getting for free.
Yeah.
Even news, for example, you would still pay that 1 ringgit or that 80 cent for
yeah,
the newspaper.
That's true.
No one was cutting it out, photocopying it, and just giving it away,
making
right?
it viral.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so after this, we're going to speak to Lau Chang On from ChiliSauce.my about some of his reflections on setting up paywalls for online content in the country. That's coming up shortly after The Beatles with Something on BFM 89.9.
Brilliant financial mentors. BFM 89.9.
Uma and Ezra here on the Evening Edition. We were talking earlier about the Malaysian Insight and how it suspended its publication citing financial reasons. We now have on the line Lau Chang On, editor-in-chief at chilisauce.my, a competing news website. Chuck, thanks for joining us. And we want to talk about, I guess, the viability of setting up these paywalls. And Chilisauce, in this case, hasn't put up a paywall as well. Would you consider doing it? And do you think many Malaysians would be willing to pay for news?
Okay, so actually we've asked our readers before about whether, when we published last time about the Malaysian Insider closing down, I believe a few of our readers actually said that if Chilisauce put up a paywall, they would actually pay for it. But we still feel that this is a very small part of the overall audience, and it wouldn't be enough to actually sustain it. Because we actually pay our writers quite well, we pay our freelancers quite well, so I'm not sure whether a paywall would be sufficient. The problem with the paywall is that because everyone else offers their content for free, if one blogger offers a paywall, then basically everybody will go out to other places. So it makes it quite difficult to do a paywall for one person. Also, the nature of content these days is that we access everything via Facebook. So we don't go just to one site. We go to like 18 or 20 sites, you know? So very few people will pay for one site and not pay for the other 17.
So, Chuck, are ad revenues enough at the moment to cover your expenses over at Chilisauce?
I think they're okay for us. I believe some people are doing better and some people are doing worse. But for us, we would say it's sustainable for now. I do believe that news organizations are having a lot of trouble with this. So because they have much higher staff counts, right? We have quite a small team, so it's a lot easier to maintain. And also news is getting harder and harder to monetize, whereas the type of content that we do can still be quite easily monetized. So the problem with that is that news organizations are the ones going out there and reporting stuff and getting information. People like us are basically just digesting it. So there was an analogy that I put in the original Malaysian Insider article, which is that the news reporters are kind of like the farmers, right? So they go out and they get the food, the real information. People like us are like restaurants. You know, we'll prepare the food for you if necessary. But without the farmers, we have no food to prepare.
Right, and that shows, I guess, how important it is for news organizations to be able to sustain financially. But it's easy for people to take things for granted and forget that the news, which they're reading for free, was in fact written by journalists who actually need to make a living. How do you think we can change that perception or attitude?
Okay, so actually there's something that I was planning to do after my time here at Teresa's, which was a kind of shared paywall among our various publishers. This actually is something that is very much in the early stages, but I believe that if a paywall were to be implemented, it would have to be across several sites, not just one, unless that one site is really so important to you, like let's say Wikipedia, you know. In fact, the only one I can think of is Wikipedia. Nothing else is part of a daily diet that would actually help this. There's another thing that actually someone else told me about, which is quite interesting, which is that every time you log into a site, that site actually gets your permission to do some Bitcoin mining in the background. So that Bitcoin mining actually contributes to the income of the site. So this actually would be quite cool as well. But then you also open yourself up to like a lot of scamming and a lot of dodgy stuff with your computers and stuff. So it's a very difficult place to work with. I think right now we're just seeing the initial impact of dropping revenues across the board. And it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, unfortunately so. But Chuck, that's an interesting idea to have the shared paywall among different sites. We look forward to updates about that. Meanwhile, do you expect to see a large-scale shift towards paid content in the near future?
Well, okay. So that's quite interesting because you would previously think that people wouldn't pay for movies and for music. But that's happening now, right? I mean, with Netflix and iFlix and Spotify, you do see a lot of people actually paying to access the music and the movie. So it's not too far to think that people would be able to pay for other types of content like news and stuff. When you think about it, I mean, news is definitely essential, you know. Sometimes I think the public kind of forgets how important news is because you need to know what's going on around you. Something that my dad used to tell me last time, I don't read newspapers, but you really do need to know what's going on around you. So that you're informed and you can make the proper decisions. And if you don't have news to do that, that's a very big blind spot in the public consciousness, you know. And that allows a lot of other people to come in. So I think the main point that I want to stress here is that if you don't pay for your content, someone else will. So a lot of newspapers and publications in Malaysia are actually funded by individuals. And this sponsorship by individuals is very dangerous because you don't know what the individual's motives are, you know. They could be wanting to sway your opinion in a certain way. They could be the owners of several other companies with brands and stuff like that. So, you know, your content is going to be influenced in very invisible ways, and that's very, very dangerous for everybody.
Indeed. Chuck, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That was Lau Chagan, editor-in-chief at ChiliSauce.my, with his thoughts on setting up paywalls for online content in Malaysia. And, you know, that's a key thing about how we view and treat the news, because it's there for the public to make informed decisions. And if we, I guess, are having limiting options on what news sources are available, what news sites are available to us, it can become a worrisome situation.
Can become a worrisome situation. I mean, it's something we've been living with for decades, right? I mean, just the idea of political ownership of all of our mainstream media, and we see where that's left us with regards to not just an informed public, but a public that's an engaged public as well, right? And it's nothing new to Malaysia, but of course, Yeah, with the whole online sphere opening up as well with news and, you know, with anti-fake news
stuff
happening.
Well, that's we're going to be talking about anti-fake news later on.
Exactly,
on the program.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the music right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.